Institute.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode 204 of the Stall It podcast.
Three?
204.
204.
Four.
Three. Yeah.
Three.
Three. Yeah, that's what I thought.
203, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Why
are you saying four for?
Did I?
What's say four for?
I said three.
You said, what's say four for?
Let's just say 1 second. March 10th is the last time. So it's over 2 months. Well over 2 months. Oh, sorry, March 5th was the last time we had an episode with three of us in the studio together.
Jesus.
Because a lot was happening.
2.5 months. Somebody had to go off and find themselves.
Find themselves? Find themselves. Jesus Christ. I certainly found myself. Are you referring to me going to Washington? Is that what I fucking...
Joe went to Washington. Yeah. I went on holidays now and got married. Again.
Yeah. Oh, and got married. Never mind. Everyone's heard about my Washington trip. But what everyone really wants to know...
Yeah, nobody wants to hear about Washington again.
Yeah, fuck that shit. That's old news.
Like, if you want to talk about it, we can. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think the people want to hear about your wedding and your honeymoon.
Yes, that's what people want to hear.
I was in Washington as well.
Well, we started to start the wedding.
The wedding.
What do you want to know?
Everything.
You were there.
Well,
the listeners weren't.
The listener wasn't, but also I wasn't there with you. I want to hear what it was like from your perspective, because when I seen you, you were a bag of nerves. You were shaking like a leaf.
What point?
This was before the ceremony and everything had started. We got out to... Can we say now where it was, because no one's going to gay crash the party.
Yeah.
Killeshie Castle?
Yeah.
A very fancy digs.
Very fancy indeed.
Yeah. Nice spot.
And then when I got there, you were kind of about. You were about.
Pissing about.
And I seen you and you were a bag of nerves.
I thought he was okay.
Yeah. You said to me that you were nervous.
I kind of was nervous. Yeah, I said to him I was nervous. Did I come across nervous though?
Well, it's just that you said you were nervous.
Maybe I wasn't even, and I just said that because I was just like, all right.
Okay.
All right, I'm nervous.
So were you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Not like a lot, but it is kind of a nerve-wracking thing. Because so many people there, like, and like, you only have it on paper who's going, and then they're there. Do you know that way? Obviously. But like, there was just so many people, like, and then I felt rude. I felt like I was rude, but it's not, because like, not the way you can only get to chat to a certain amount of people for so long to chat to someone else then. I felt like I didn't give everyone enough time or something like that. But I think everyone's just aware that like it's your wedding, like just fucking go for it, like piss about.
You were being pulled all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to spread yourself thin on the wedding day. Let's talk about the ceremony. What did you want? What's the music that... What was your walk-in music again? Tell us about your walk-in music.
This was the most... Bombastic entrance. Any groom has
bombastic
ever. It was bombastic.
Bombastic.
That's a pretty nice.
Relax, Ali J.
Mr. Bombastic.
Is that on Shaggy, is it?
Deli Fantastic.
Yeah, Shaggy.
Mr. Lover Lover. It's,
like, he didn't invent the word though.
No, he didn't.
Did he not?
We all like, he doesn't own bombastic. I can use bombastic if I want.
Of course you can. Yeah, I walked down the aisle to
actually, bombastic was probably a bit mean.
Mean?
I just reminded myself of the definition here. It means high sounding but with little meaning. Would that be?
I mean, yeah.
Inflated.
It didn't have any meaning. Like, it was
well, yeah. Well, tell people what it was and then they can decide if bombastic is fair.
I walked down to John Cena's entrance music from wrestling.
Not dun, just that.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the best man had the WWE belt. I don't even watch wrestling. But I was like, I have to do something, like. I had to, like. Didn't like, I?
Traditionally speaking, no, you didn't. You just have to stand up there. But I liked what you did. I liked what you did. I think you sold it well too. You didn't just walk up that aisle.
I give it the whole you can't see me.
You did.
Did you think that was a bit of crack?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was funny. It was where it was from our perspective. We're arriving to this castle. It's beautiful. A castle wedding. Incredible. And we're sipping on our drinks and mingling. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the ceremony. We move into the room where the ceremony is. And there's a man playing guitar and there's a woman singing beautiful songs going, ooh, how are you? And then we take our seats, and then it's like, okay, the ceremony is about to begin. And you would think that the people that you hired to play music, the guitarist and the singer, might sing something nice. But instead, it was like that cut out. Someone pressed play, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. Fucking John Cena. And you walk in, soft behind you with a WWE belt. You're waving your hand in front of your face, and it's like, here we go. What a way to start proceedings.
Oh, because I was like, Emmy was talking to the girl that was singing, and she was like, we're gonna like stop for like a John Cena entrance. And she's like, yeah, grand, I can play it for you if you want. So I think she like played it on a speaker, on our speaker that was there. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't know, like, I didn't know if it would work. Like, I thought, like it's real, like, religious thing. And just, like, it's not really religious, like, but you know that kind of atmosphere that you're supposed to have at a wedding is all, like, lovey-dovey, like.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You're just breaking it with, like, a John Cena entrance. But Amy was like, you need to do that.
Oh, Amy was on board for it, yeah.
Like, she's the one who told me to do an entrance, like, because she's seen it on TikTok.
Oh, right.
It's going to become a thing. More people are going to start doing it, man. I'm telling you. Different wrestling songs.
I thought she was going to come out to China or something then.
Can.
But then they said,
are you laughing? What are you breaking up, Ollie?
Everyone was laughing. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Darren clearly loved it.
Of course he did.
Oh, yeah.
He was messaging me all the next day saying, that was the best thing ever.
He loves wrestling.
He loves wrestling, yeah. I don't even fucking really watch wrestling. Like, Soph loves it.
Ah, Soph.
But the John Cena thing is, like, everyone knows that song. Like,
yeah.
I think even people in the room who didn't fully get the reference, they got, look, it's a wrestler. He's doing a wrestler's walk on. He's got the belt. He's doing the actions. It's very funny.
There's no coming back from that.
Peaked.
Well, your speech is pretty good.
I thought it was shy.
I thought it was great.
Do you think it was good?
Your speech? I'm trying to remember it now because I remember Soph's speech, and Soph's speech I thought was hilarious.
It was.
What happens in that room stays in that room, am I right?
It was
this man's speech. It's always going to be edgy, isn't it?
I had a clear line of sight of you. I was straight down. You, well, we were down the back also.
Yeah, nosebleeds. Yeah. The nosebleeds, man.
Big family.
Anyway, I had a direct line of sight of you down the middle, little aisle through the tables. Which I was thankful for during that speech. Because at times you look pretty uncomfortable.
You said it was great.
It was.
Uncomfortably great?
No, soft speech. They were both great speeches, but during soft speech at times I could see you were like, what's he going to say next?
Oh, Jesus Christ. He said some mad shit.
And you actually stood up and took the mic off at one stage. Yeah. And it happened so smoothly, I thought you would...
I was a part of it.
Planned.
That was a part of it. Taking the mic off him, yeah.
You told me it wasn't.
Soph told me it wasn't either. There was more to his speech. You cut him off. You cut him off.
Do you know why
you
cut
censored
him off?
Soph.
Right, I'll tell you now why I cut him off, right? Because he had sheets in front of him, and I looked at the last page, and I just looked at it, and I was just saying the words Epstein Island. And I just took it off. I'm like,
oh no, I feel like that's the Schneider cut, man. Release the speech.
He didn't get to say that bit though. He got lost in translation with himself a bit. I think he kind of forgot that there was a page there as well, and he was just like wandering with it.
Oh my god,
amazing.
It was so random. It was the most random speech
it was
ever.
I was so surprised by it. I didn't know where it was going. I thought he was just winging it at the start.
I mean, you probably can't even talk about it. Can't?
No.
No. But it was sweet as well. It was sweet as well.
They had the moments like
they were talking about he talked about your childhood.
Mm.
And I think he said something about someone picking their arse.
Yeah. He said, we had a mate who was picked their bum.
Which
I was like, what?
did you not know anything of what he was going to say?
None of it.
Did you ask, could you see it beforehand?
I didn't want to know.
No.
I knew it was going to be something erratic. Soph like.
That's a good way of putting it.
He's a mad bastard.
Isn't he?
He's a lunatic, yeah.
Nothing to lose, like.
That's the beauty of it though, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? That's the no filter.
Calm down. Relax.
Go on.
What do you think of the menus? The food menus?
Yeah, pretty well made.
I made them.
Together.
Yeah. your name on front of it now, little place card.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I made them as well.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. What did you not make?
And who decided?
I made the table plan on the easel when you walked in with the flowers, done all the flowers on it and everything.
And now who decided who sat where?
Amy.
Now.
Send her my thanks.
Why?
Because I wasn't put with him, Terence or Calvin. They were beside us.
Yeah, because we
had distance.
There was two tables.
Especially when Terence came over half an hour in and says, I need to get off that table. It's getting out of
hand. That was just for dinner. That was just for the dinner.
That's a sober table as well. Like.
That was just for the dinner, though. After the dinner, you can just like sit where you want.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I still mingled. I was talking to him.
Were you not happy with where you were sitting?
No, I was. That's what I'm saying. I was saying my thanks. I was very happy.
Was your seat all right?
Well, now that we're on the topic.
Yeah, at least Joe
was
causing there.
Murder. Joe was just out there. Just
I heard him.
I was not causing murder. There was a debate about gambling and stuff like that, and it just got. It's just like, what the hell? It didn't get. It wasn't heated or anything. Like, and then Terence walked away, and I was like, ah, Jesus. Well, that's not that big a deal.
He came over to me and said, "Oh, they're all kicking off over there about gambling." I said, "I'll stop right there. Can I guess who started the conversation?"
And he would have been wrong if he had said me. I did, you know, I did sort of. Sometimes I like to be contrary.
No.
To just, you know, to.
Rattle
the
cage. For the
purpose of conversation, you know what I mean? Yeah, to stoke a little bit of conversation.
Rattle the cage a bit.
But enough about my table etiquette. I want to know, like, there was so much little detail. Even on the straws, there was like Darren and Amy and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you.
Made
what?
Them as well.
Little shots on the table as well. Little.
Yeah, poured them myself. Shots. Took me about 2 days.
You poured them yourself?
From the bottle, like, yeah. Did into them little shot glasses with a little funnel.
Did you?
Yeah. Seven bottles it took of tequila rosé.
And you had a telephone box there, so people could go into the telephone box and leave a message.
Audio guest book.
Did you listen to any of them?
Not yet. We got the footage, we got the foil. We have to listen to it, though. Probably later. Did you do it, leave it now?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yep.
Is it good?
I'm not sure. It felt funny at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm the same.
Yeah,
I'm like, actually, delete that. Don't listen to that.
Do you even remember what it was?
I do.
I do as well, yeah.
What was it?
Mine was like I rang the wrong number or something like that. Oh. I don't know.
Sorry. Is this...
Owen's looking a little bit nervy over there. What did you say?
No, nothing. I just wasn't sure if it was funny or not. I just said John McGuckin did 9/11.
Did you?
Oh man, you should stick it in the podcast.
I will, yeah.
Release
the foils.
Release the foils.
Tapes. Which brings us on to our next stage of your story.
Yes.
You went over to America.
Yeah. What about the wedding?
Oh, sorry.
All he talked about was the fucking field and where he was sitting.
And the phone box.
And the phone box.
And your entrance.
Yeah, the 360
yeah,
camera
that
thing.
That was a nice touch, wasn't
that
it?
That was a nice touch, yeah. Oh, you got up
dead late
that.
It was.
Yeah,
from
like
the phone to your man in the hall.
He was there
dead
late.
Fucking 8 o'clock. He wasn't there till about 10:30.
But you like to spread it out. I thought it was intentional. I thought that kind of worked.
It worked out in the end, yeah.
He arrives around the same time as the second batch of food, so it was like a whole new phase of the wedding.
And you got some chicken and chips
afterwards.
Well looked after.
Yeah.
I say you didn't know yourself. You go to some weddings and your fucking stomach be taunting you.
There are good healthy portions of chicken and chips as well.
Yeah, there were big bowls of.
You didn't go hungry.
No.
And it gave me an excuse.
You got around the drink as well.
Ice bag truck.
Round the drink as well, you got.
We did. But yeah, that was supposed to be a toast and then you never toasted it.
I don't know with the shots.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Taylor said, made them little shots to have a little drink there. Soft went off, man. There was no coming back. I just wanted to get out of there.
I was convinced you were going to do a choreographed first dance.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was told it before you went out.
We were actually going to like go for dance lessons. Like we were going to do that, like, but there was just so much going on that. Just hadn't got time to do it.
So you did have it in mind?
I was dreading the dance. Yeah, we were going.
So my instincts
I wanted to
off.
Do the dance from The Mask.
Well, that's like a cartoon dance.
I know.
It's like physically impossible.
That's exactly what I said. We can't do that. It's a cartoon dance. I mean, he turns into a fucking dog at one point.
So any behind the scenes info we don't know about?
In what? In what do you mean? Like?
I don't know.
Did anything go wrong for you wrong. Is that we wouldn't have been aware of that went wrong?
Soph lost his fucking flower thingy for his suit. What are they called?
Flower?
Flower thingy. Yeah, he lost that. And he was like, where's your fucking flower thingy? And he was like, I don't know, I didn't get one. I was like, It was literally on you earlier. Like, it was only when in the morning, like, he had it on him, and then he tried to make it out that he never had one. I was like, you fucking, like, you had one, like, you literally, I, like, seen you getting it put on, like, and he was like, no, I didn't get one of them, like, but he knew he lost it. Do you know that way? He just kept making it up that he never had one.
Did he not have one for the whole wedding? Did he find it?
Yeah, we got one. We found it in the end. Like.
Okay.
What else happened? That's all.
Was Amy happy with how everything went? Did she love it? Did she have a great time?
Loved her.
Or did she think, oh, that could have went
better? Everything she wanted, like.
Yeah?
And more.
Aww. When you went out for the forest dance, like, you danced like for like 10 seconds and then you were saying to everybody, yeah, come on, join in.
100%, like. That's so embarrassing.
It's horrible, yeah.
It is. It's cringy.
Like, it is. Like, it's obviously a nice thing to do and, like, you need to do it, but, like, I just wanted everyone to join in and just, like, swarm us. Because it's just fucking awkward. Like, can't dance. If I had a step about me, I'd do it no bother, do you know that way? But
it's just a little sway from side to side. It's like, oh, darling, won't you stand?
Billie Eilish is the first dance.
Is that what it was? Billie Eilish? I can't remember.
I want you to stay.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice song, like.
Yeah, Billie Eilish is good. I like her.
Modern as well. Contemporary.
A contemporary wedding. For a contemporary man and woman.
Right, let's get on to the juicy stuff.
So, the next morning you wake up fresh as a daisy, I'd say, because you went to bed early.
Oh, that was a bit seedy.
And did you do a day two thing?
No.
No,
we didn't.
Not even a few points or
anything? No, I didn't even have one drink the next day. Because we were going to fucking Vegas on the Tuesday and I just wanted to be fresh for that. Not that I wouldn't be if I just had like a couple of drinks on the Sunday, but like, yeah, I was just fucking, we just literally went home and just chilled out, like.
Yeah.
Did you have a day two when you did at your wedding?
Yeah, well, we flew out the next day. After our wedding, we went to, you know, that boat on the Keys? It's like a pub.
It's a little restaurant, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's a restaurant. And we went in there, had a few bits and pieces, and then with family and friends, and then we flew out to Italy then that night. So that's what we did on the second day. It was a come down.
Yeah, the last couple of days after the honeymoon and all, it's just like, it's a bit depressing, like.
Yeah.
Like, it's like there's nothing going on, like, because you're thinking about it, like, the last fucking 3 years, like.
Yeah.
3 years of your life where, like, you're thinking about it a couple of times a day, every day, like. And now you're not thinking about it because it's done. And it's like a big drop off, like.
Is there a liberation that comes with that? Do you feel like
it's like a relief as well, like, yeah. Because so expensive and I have no money or that, and I have to start. I feel like I have to start again.
Into a mortgage.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit, right then. So you were back at home for one day and then you flew out the next day?
2 days back at home. Sunday and Monday. And then I was up like at 6 a.m. Tuesday, 5 a.m. even, to go to Viva La Vega,
Umbrella City.
Were you ever there?
Never in Las Vegas.
Were you?
Nope.
No. It's the best place I've ever been.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And wow. I'm not a big fan of America like yourself, like, you know. It's so different than like LA and all that, like, and obviously Washington and stuff, and it's unbelievable, like.
What's so good about it?
I wanted to stay more. I wanted to stay longer, like. Just everything about it is just amazing, like, fucking, just the hotels, the casinos, even just to look at, like, and just, it's just in your face, like, and I love it. I fucking love it, like.
Do you want to go back?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was saying to Amy, like, I'd come back here next May, like, if I had the dash, because you'd want a few quid.
Pricey.
Fuck me, man.
I thought it was cheap because
it's so expensive.
Is it?
On the strip, like, and in the hotels, like, it's the most expensive place I've ever been, like, as well at the same time. But we did it, we budgeted it well, like, I mean, like, we had some stuff that was there, like, and then we, like, get a McDonald's as well, like, do you know the kind of way, like, you fucking work it out, like.
Yeah.
Went to fucking some big steakhouse, like, the oldest steakhouse in Vegas. Got a big tomahawk and all, lobster, cocktails, everything, like.
Much.
Not even going to tell you.
Like, go on.
I'm going to say it off record.
Say it on record. Say it on record.
I don't even want to say it on this.
Wait, it's going to be expensive.
Why wouldn't you tell us?
Huh?
Why wouldn't you tell us?
Not on the podcast.
Why? It's your honeymoon.
$600.
For just the tomahawk and the...
Like for the whole meal and all the cocktails.
Ah, the whores included and all? Yeah. So like 300 a head? Like, that's all right.
Is it?
Yeah, in Vegas, yeah, in your honeymoon, that's fine.
Is that fine? All right.
It's not... No. It's
better, like, we did it once.
600
like,
quid, but, you know.
We did it once. We're not going to do
yeah.
it the second.
Yeah, special occasion. Yeah.
Scandalous.
But it was like worth every penny, like.
Did she get a tomahawk?
We got a tomahawk between us, like.
Oh, okay.
And I got like a lobster tail, but it was like that size. I have a picture of it there, I'll show you. Like, it was huge. Like, I've never seen anything like it. It was unreal. Like garlic butter goes over it, and all. You can get like a little bowl of garlic butter to pour over it and stuff. You got like chips and that, like mac and cheese and all with it.
Was it packed? Was there other people there?
Yeah.
What sort of people were there?
They just seemed like normal Americans there as well. Like, you know, it wasn't like, to us, it was like really fancy. It was like, are we going to see Jay-Z here or something?
Yeah.
So that way it was like, who the fuck is going to be here? Like, because each booth is like dedicated to people that used to eat there. Like celebrities like Frank Sinatra and Elvis, obviously, and Marilyn Monroe and all that. Like Al Pacino, like all of them people. Like, just...
Who was your booth dedicated to?
I don't even know who he was. I was raging because I was looking at Sinatra just over there and Elvis over there. I was like, oh, it would have been worth the photo. But it was unreal, like. But everything over there is so expensive. Like fucking $135 for like two pizzas, two drinks, and like sharing a carbonara and all that.
That's pricey, isn't it?
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, I'll give you the, this is the worst of spending, like, without even realising. Like, we went to get a breakfast in like the MGM Grand Hotel, like, because we were Googling places, and I was like, oh, this looks all right. They have like fucking rashers and like sausages and whatever. And I ended up just going and getting like two eggs Benedict, one each, like, for me and Amy, and like two lattes. It was like $85.
What?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have the prices on the menus. I was just taking it for granted that it'd be just like, oh, no way, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it's eggs, like, and coffee.
Everything in the hotels is there, no matter what you're getting. Like $8 for a bottle of water and all. Mad.
Jesus.
Mad, like.
I thought it was all cheap because they kind of wanted to keep you there for the casinos. I thought it was like nearly free. The drink's free in the casinos, yeah?
Yeah, so like the drink is free if you're gambling. Like, so if you're on like blackjack or whatever, or roulette or whatever you're gambling on, there's waiters and waitresses that go around with like trays and like, do you want a drink? And you're like, yeah, get us like a bud or whatever and a cocktail. And then you just like tip them $3 or whatever, or $5, like. We were just giving them five, but we didn't get many of them because they were scarce. Like, they wouldn't come over to you much, like.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, it was like, I was pressing the buttons for service, like, on the machines, but that button was for, like, service that it's a big payout on it.
Oh.
And they were, like, looking at the machine, like, you have, like, $20 in that. You want to take, you call me over for that? Because they got over $3,000 you called them over for. Okay. Well, I thought that was service for, like, a
waiter.
Like, drink, like. But, yeah, they didn't come over much. Like, you think, like, oh, I just sit here with like 50 quid in the machine, just like 80 cent bets, like they'll be over and we'll just get like five drinks out of this. But it's not the case. Like, maybe it's for people out there all the time, they know the faces, like. But I think they want you to be gambling more to get the service, like, you know.
Where'd you stay?
The Bellagio.
Oh. The Bellagio, you fancy fucker, yeah.
You have to go all in.
The Bellagio.
Once in a lifetime. Wow. I have to do it.
The hotel robbed in Ocean's 11.
Yeah. I walked them hallways. Same hallways as George Clooney.
Did you gamble in the Bellagio?
Ah, yeah.
I'd love to fucking play a game of poker in the Bellagio, man. That's,
I seen them. I didn't go near like any card games or like anything like that. It was all just like a few small amounts in like the fruities. Felt like I was in Dr. Quirky's.
that's machines nice.
Over there, like, even like the machines you're playing on are so advanced, like the graphics on them and all. Like, I was playing this like Frankenstein one and it just looked like a PS5, like the screen, whatever game it was on it, like the graphics of it. And like, when you're over here, like if you go into a casino, like it's like a donkey on the screen or something going, oh, you might win a tenner. Do you know that way?
A donkey on the screen.
But like over
this
there,
is shy.
Over there, it's so much effort gone into them. Like it would consume you. Like,
is there people on all of the machines? Is it hard to get a seat?
No, there's always one free. Like, There'd be always one free.
Did you go to the Pawn Star shops?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you?
I went to like the gold and silver auction, like from the TV show. Like.
The auction? The
Chumley and the boys.
Oh, I thought you meant the fucking Pawn... The
Pawn Star shop.
Yeah, no, what's the other place that's in Las Vegas as well with the shutters? The Storage Wars.
Oh, no.
So you went to the Pawn Stars, the Chumley place. Did you see any cards that you liked?
There was cards, yeah, but they were like basketball and baseball. Like, but like, you think because the show and you watch the show that like all these like amazing items that come in like are going to be on display, like you're going to see all of them, but you don't. Like, it's just fucking coins and stuff like that, but it's nothing. Like, they have a website where you can see all that. Like, they're not going to have it on display in that way.
Yeah.
Like, they had some jerseys in the back, like on behind the desk, like with like signed by Ronaldo and stuff and Pele and all that, like for like 10 grand a pop and all.
10 grand?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even more, like, I was just saying like 99999, like I was like, there's a lot of nines there.
That's too much. I'll get you one for less than that.
Signed by Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Ah, you'd pay that. I wouldn't pay it, but like that's what you'd pay.
Just a jersey signed by Ronaldo?
Yeah.
I'd say so, would you? I don't know.
Maybe if you wore it, maybe, yeah.
It wasn't even match worn, to be honest. But, like, I knew that the people off the show weren't going to be there, but, like, they had cardboard cutouts of them. And it was just really like, yeah, they're not going to be here, but you can get a photo with these cardboard cutouts if you want. Like, it was free. You didn't have to pay to go there. Like, it's an open auctions. Like, do you know, auctioneers, like, the shop is there. But I heard that, like, that's not even where they film it.
Ah, really?
Yeah, it's just, like, in a TV studio setting where they film that. Like.
No way.
That's what someone was saying in the shop. Not the people that work there, like someone that was just in and out visiting, like you must come here a lot. Why are you coming here a lot? I got like some merch, as like a t-shirt, like from the shop. Like, there's a big merch, like it's a tourist trap, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know me. So I have to get it.
Pawn Stars t-shirt?
Yeah.
Did you buy anything that he was selling, like any of the secondhand stuff? Is that...
There was nothing
that took
there.
You
like,
fancy.
There was a few like Pokemon cards and all that, but like it's like 15 grand a card and all. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I don't know, I didn't like really like look into displays, like, you know, I was just more like absorbed by the surroundings and being in that shop, like, you know. Even if it wasn't the same shop, it looked like it. It must be just like a mask of it. Just for all those tourists coming over. Where is Rick? He's down the back there, yeah. Cardboard fella.
Looks pretty skinny on the side. Is it different now between you and Amy? Do things feel different?
Not really. Did you feel any different when you got married?
A little bit.
In what way?
I felt like we were more
connected.
Not really, like more secure or something. Like, I felt like, I don't know, yeah, official, like more locked in, more committed, more like, right, okay, this is definitely
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely feels like that. It's just mad, like just one occasion, just one day, like one day for the rest of your life.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can relate.
I can.
And you.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever else is listening who's married. We're all married. Here, we're married, we are. All of us.
What advice would you give to somebody now that's getting married tomorrow?
It's going to be very stereotypical, but take it all in because it goes very quick. That's what everyone kept saying to me. It's like, just take time for yourself and Amy because it just goes so quick. Like, and you were right.
It did. Did go quick.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like my ma saying, like, appreciate your childhood because when you get older, the years are like weeks. It's kind of like that.
Oh, Joe, put the hat on again.
Get your tools out.
Oh, Joe, put the hat on again.
Get your tools out.
I was in there before I came in here. I was getting a coffee around the corner, like, and I was sitting there waiting on her to make it, like, and took a casual seat off to the side, like, you know, as you do. And this fella, like, comes around the corner from, I think he was like having something to eat with his family or whatever. And he just like looked at me and went, "Darren Conway." And I went, "All right, man." And then he just like walked outside. And he came back like 2 seconds later and he was like, "Do you want that in the chemist?" And I was like, for the crack of Solbadine. Like, get a Solbadine. And then he came back like 2 minutes later with a box of Solbadine and threw them at me. I just caught them. And he was like, don't eat them all in one go. And I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, I'll take them back, will you, my thing? I don't want them. I was only messing with you. No. He's like, ah, you know yourself. And I was just like walking out of the hotel getting the coffee, just laughing, like looking at him, just laughing. And like, I had to walk by the window where he was sitting. Like, I was just looking in at him and I was just like trying to stop being up and just being like, oh, yeah, mess are you?
It's just that story is so funny because from our perspective, it's just fucking weird that he went over and bought you a box of salmon in. But from his perspective, he probably went into this coffee shop and said, you want that from the chemist for the laugh? And you said, salpentine.
But like, you took it. But in all joking aside, like, if you know me, like, if I say, like, oh, yeah, salpentine, it's sarcastic. Like,
yeah, yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And he just got me salpentine.
And then you're waving at him in the window and everything. He's gone off telling the exact same story, saying, I bumped into Darren Conway the other day.
He asked me for a box of salt.
He's hooked.
No, he knew. By the aftermath, like, the two of us knew what the crack was, you know, that way he knew. Because he was talking to who he was with, and he's like, got him bleeding something, like he was saying, like, blah, blah, blah. I could see, like, the what was happening. Like, it wasn't like, yeah, I'm not getting him salt there. Like, he literally asked me if I salt there. Like. Oh. Many's in it.
You still have it, like.
I'm not going to throw it away, bleeding 10.50. If he's still there, I'll get him a fucking drink or something.
Send him a cameo.
But a part of me, when I said it, I felt like he was going to come back with them. He just gave me that impression that he was just up for the crack, like, and he was going to get me the salt there, and he did, like. Just throw them at me. Don't eat them all in one go.
A whole box of salt.
Showing them like fucking Skittles.
You were shaking.
And a part of me is like, should I have got something dearer? Like, what if I had to say, get us an inhaler? You came back with one.
Get us a packet of Ritalin while you're over there.
Get me a packet of lozenges. Give us a box of Ritalin because I'm bouncing off the walls.
See if they have any Ozempic.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to hang around chemists more often. People just go, Darren, do you want that? And the chemist will go, yeah. Salbidin. Why is there no painkillers in this jungle?
I was editing a video. I was out with
paracetamol.
I was out editing I was out walking and I got a call. I left Maura home with the dog. I didn't leave Maura. It's not like I left Maura home with the dog, but she was at home with the dog. And I got a phone call a couple of hours after I left. And it was the vets. Oh. The vet was like, are you missing a dog? And I was like, I don't think so. Why? And they said somebody brought a dog in and they scanned its chip. And it's your dog, like, it's Fred. Are you Joe McGuckin? And your number and everything is connected. So I was like, yeah.
Did Maura just, like, have enough and leave the door open?
I don't know what happened. But then I called Maura. I says, hey, I'm Maura. She's like, yeah. Hey, how are you? Not a bother to her. Like, nothing happened.
Psychopath.
I was like, where's the dog? And she says, he's in the sitting room. What? No, he's not. Go in and have a look. See if he's in the sitting room. And she went in. She's like, oh, I don't know where he is. I was like, I'm about to get a call off the fucking vet. He's down in the vet. Somebody handed him in. And she's like, oh, shit. Okay, all right. I'll leave now. I'll leave and I'll go pick him up. And I called back the vet. I said, she'll be there in a minute. And Maura went to the vets down in Coolock. Because that's where I told her to go. That's where I thought the dog was. She got there. And then she seen some woman just sitting down with another dog and she just went in and she just goes, oh, thanks so much. I'm very sorry. And she picked up the wrong dog. And the woman was like, what are you doing? And then she looked at the dog and was like, oh,
this is a German shepherd.
It was because of our aphantasia. She didn't recognize the fucking dog. And she was like, sorry, like, you know, and she kind of had to piece it together. And then she went to the counter and she was saying it to the person walking there. She's like, is that a dog here? Is Fred here? Is that a border terrier here? And then they had to call around and then they sent that to the right one. It was down in Beaumont. It was a different...
How did he get out?
Village Vets. Murray must have left the fucking door open. And any chance that dog gets, he's fucking gone. He does not want to live with us. He doesn't like us. He wants out.
I doesn't like the tux.
I want to stick a little GPS on him.
Stick a GoPro on him.
That's a brilliant idea.
See where he goes.
Live stream that.
There's videos of that online already though.
Is there?
Owners put like dogs that like leave and come home though.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't want to see him crossing the main road or anything, like, you know. Could be a disaster, you know, if he's not used to being outside.
Think of the hits.
Yeah, you get a lot of live streamers.
Not on beyond probably the dark web though. Wouldn't be like on YouTube. Wouldn't be allowed.
A view is a view.
Yeah, I suppose you're right actually. 300 quid for two people for a 50 minute fucking show of watching like cows run by the screen.
And it was me and Maura, it was our anniversary, 8 years married.
8 years?
Or seven.
It's eight.
Eight? Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. And you know that how?
I just know.
Okay.
That's weird, I knew.
Yeah, what the fuck? Did they want him for it?
No, because it was on a Tuesday and we had just been out, I think, at your wedding. I think your wedding was on that weekend and then Tuesday was the anniversary and... I'm doing that boxing thing now, so I just done that. Just went to that. And I'm trying to be...
Boxing. Did you start that?
Yeah, start just doing a little bit of the training. I always wanted to get back into boxing and I wanted a good reason to do it. And it's
so you were in boxing before?
When I was a kid. Yeah. And I never really gave it a good go.
I always thought the same about karate.
Did you?
I was in karate when I was a kid and I always said I'd like to go back to karate. Never did though.
You should do some jiu-jitsu.
I'll only do it if there's a politician doing it with me. You know what I mean?
Go on, Jeb.
You turn into fucking the monk.
Would he be there? I don't know. Would he be there?
Yeah.
Joe, doing a bit of boxing.
Oh, what? He owns a boxing club now. Are you?
That's who I'm doing it with.
Oh, is it? Have you met him yet?
I've met the monk before, yeah.
But recently, since you're in there? Does he be down there anymore?
He's in Spain. But he'll be back.
On holiday, is he?
No, he lives there.
Oh, he's on holiday. He came back.
He was extradited. He came back.
Do you remember he was in the airport and all the journals were chasing him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
he came back he came back to run in the elections.
Obviously the elections, yeah, sorry.
And you're in his boxing club.
Yeah.
Man of the area.
Man of the people.
I thought you would have went to a private boxing club with all your money.
To like look
Belvedere
up and down
boxing.
Lallium. The man owns a dinosaur theme park.
Yeah.
Oh stop.
He's going back to his roots. Like a fucking Rocky story, isn't it?
It's fucking
take
nice.
Me back. Do 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 do. Take me back. The song from Rocky.
It is a song from Rocky.
You see, you can't tenor play Las Americas, Luke.
Yeah. He's gone to what's the name of that theme park you go to?
With the sad whale. Siam Park.
With the sad killer whale.
You like a dying whale.
Laura Park. Yeah. You like a dying whale.
Stop. He'd love that now, that impression. He'd love that. You would, yeah.
I'd say do the UCC and try and...
Oh, you ain't doing any of it.
Would you not
get out of your head?
No. Would you not?
Never. Never.
You'd be a draw. You'd be like fucking headline, man. You'd make so much money boxing. You could box for misfits.
You're a YouTuber now, so you
box for misfits.
Yes, you could.
You want to have a fair bit of bleeding backing.
Are you man? Pritchard, what's his name? They're crying out for content creators. There's not enough content creators to fill all the cards that they have. They're looking for like 12 fights. That's 24 people each night. So they'd be crying out for content creators. That's why you look at the UCC and you don't know half of the fuckers on the bleeding thing.
On ground for the old boxing, thanks.
Are you sure?
Ah, yeah, for now.
You won't have a little bit?
Maybe down the line.
Oh, see?
Slip the jab.
Ooh.
Is this for charity?
It's to raise funds for the kids in the boxing club that I'm doing it for from around the area, in Corinthians Boxing Club. They're going to...
Crinners? Crinners Boxing Club?
Corinthians.
Crinners.
Corinthians. Yes, to raise funds for them to go on a trip to compete in the UK.
Oh. That's nice, isn't it?
Because if they don't have the money, then they can't compete. Can't fly over.
I know the man to bring the money. Big card.
Tell you. Oh, no. They'd sell it out anyway, but wherever.
Where's the event?
It's in the complex in Smithfield, or around Smithfield, or just off Cable Street. You know, the back of Cable Street. The complex. There's usually raves in there.
Not anymore. Only boxing.
There'd be a big ring in it. Do you know the ring in Corinthians was given to them by Jim Sheridan? It's the ring from The Boxer.
Oh.
The film.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. A lot of history in there. Kelly Harrington. She started her career out in there when she was 14. She was in there for 10 years.
Bernard Dunn.
Did he go to Corinthians?
Probably not. I miss staying up and watching Bernard.
Do you like boxing in general?
Yeah.
Do you like it as a sport? Would you watch it?
I watch the boxing, yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
I watch it when it's on. I don't really watch it when it's in like Saudi or anything because it's on too late. It's like 4 a.m, 5 a.m. But like when it's in the UK, I'd watch it. 10 o'clock main card, you know?
It's great.
It's exciting.
That's one thing I like about America.
Very boring as well, though.
The UFC, when you're in America, it's on at a reasonable time.
Yes.
It's good. I enjoy that.
He likes that, he does.
So fuck this, I'm going in to put my jumper on. Do you know what? I was in Funky Monkeys in Clare Hall.
That's the balls.
It is the balls. I was in the balls in Clare Hall. And I was looking out the window because it's made of glass, the whole wall. And I was looking at the planes going over and I was thinking, Jesus, I wonder where they're going. And then they were all going in the same direction. And I was like, are they all going to the same fucking place? Obviously, the airport is just down the road and the runway just takes off that way. But then I went onto the old air traffic controller app and I was trying to just guess where they were all going. They were all going to wherever. Doesn't matter. Spain, England, Oslo, Norway.
Amsterdam.
Transylvania.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, it must be so fucking easy to fly a plane. And I know I've said it before. But I genuinely considered, I've thought about this. It takes 18 to 24 months to become a fully qualified pilot. And I'm genuinely considering it. However, it costs a lot of money. So people usually take out loans to kind of bankroll this venture.
Oh, it's huge money, yeah.
Like $100,000.
Yeah.
I have a terrible fear of flying.
I'd say if you flew the plane and you understood how it worked, you wouldn't be so scared.
I think he's right.
Do you like turbulence?
No, I don't like turbulence.
Yeah.
But I want to do that because I think it's a fucking easiest job. And it's a high paid job.
You're on more money now.
You're
not than a pilot.
Nah.
You've just sat here for the last couple of hours talking absolute shit. You get paid for this.
Yeah, but
not always. Not enough.
Maybe it's not as much as you want every single month. But look, it's still money for sitting around chatting shit for a couple of hours.
A lot of effort goes into this though.
Well, I'm aware.
Imagine getting up 9 o'clock in the morning and driving up to the airport, hopping out, going through the private entrance. You don't have to go through any of that shit. And you can get onto your plane and you take off just like a taxi, just like a lorry driver, just like any other driver. And then you land an hour and a half later in Malaga. And then you fly back. 3 hours walk.
Might not even fly back.
3 hours walk.
Might not even fly back. You might get to stay in Malaga for a couple of days.
Yeah. Or, and this is another thing that I was looking into and considering, a private jet pilot. So if you can make a connection with someone who has a private jet company and you become a pilot for one of them, you're on the pig's back. A
few tips.
Like $250,000 for these boys.
A year?
Yeah.
I was once in a private jet hangar.
Oi.
They had magazines about private jets for private jet owners. That's what private jet owners read in the waiting room for airplanes.
Just more about private jets.
Yeah, it's just like, look at other private jets.
Private jets on top of private jets.
And it was just sitting there outside this little room, the big jet ready to go.
Do private jets, do they just have single pilots or do they have a forced?
I think you have to have two.
You have to have a co-pilot.
I was on a private jet before.
You what?
Yeah.
You were on a private jet before?
On one, like as a passenger.
Fuck off.
Yeah, 50 cent.
Yeah, in the Bleeding Oil Center.
No, it was with 50 cent. What's in the oil accent? I don't get that one.
Like one of the little postman Pat. Postman Pat. What's the only one on it? And it's black and white.
It was in the Omni. The Omni shopping centre.
Ah. I want to do it. I don't want to be a helicopter pilot. But I want to be a pilot.
I'd never get on a helicopter.
Lawyer.
Oh no, I wouldn't. I'd be afraid of them.
Ah, you would.
Has a good chance of a crashing though.
Not a good chance.
Oh, there is.
I wouldn't say a good chance.
More chance of a crashing than that.
Would you not, instead of starting on this new journey,
yes,
of a couple of years and massive debt, what about you took just a fraction of that time and money and invested it into your last massive journey of time and debt?
The spice bag truck. Yeah.
Why don't you just
take, where is that now?
Yeah, just take a percentage of the effort and focus.
Are you money. Finished with that?
It's up for sale. We're trying to get rid of it. Yeah,
rent
yeah.
The recipe, please.
The what? No, recipe. No, because I might make a comeback in some shape, some way, shape or form. But for now,
can I rent the recipe? Like,
you can rent me, and I'll come over to your gaff, and I'll make you one of them spice bags.
Is it worth it?
What are you gonna do with all the frozen food?
It's fucking defrosted. Had to throw it all out. Yeah.
Money to burn.
That was a disappointment. I wanted to eat it just to eat it. Just to have it.
But let Josh run it.
I can't. He doesn't know how to drive, so he can't pull the
hire a driver. Give it to Josh till the end of the season.
I'd just give it to Josh.
If you can turn it around.
I'd say, Josh, here, do something with that because I don't want it.
You take a percentage of profits.
I want to wash my hands. I want to wash my hands with it. If I was to do it again, I'd start all over again and I'd do it differently.
I have faith in Josh. I think Josh will get the gig.
He's got to step up. He can come to me and say, here's a proposal.
Or
there's
one of the
forthcoming.
Or one of the other many, many McGuckin siblings.
Loads
many,
of
many,
there's
not
loads.
That many. Fucking hell.
No, there's fucking loads of them McGuckin siblings.
McGuckin Academy.
There's ones that don't even know I have. They're fucking showing up everywhere. No, I just think it would be easy. I'd love to be a lorry driver as well.
Boring.
You can be a food truck driver.
No, because then you have to do the food stuff. But just driving, like imagine getting into a lorry and just driving to the other end of the country.
Why don't you tell Josh, listen, you get this cut of
I wouldn't be into that.
Profits. I'll drive, but I'm doing nothing else. I'm not getting out of that driver's seat.
If Josh was like, here, will you just bring this from A to B and then I'll do the rest?
Yep.
You just have to drive it. Like,
there's a lot more to it than I first anticipated. And
no,
I know. But just logistically and administratively, everything. Like, it's not even the making of the food. That's grand. Just the administration side of it. It's all a pain in the arse.
That spice bag is gonna haunt me, because it was so good. And I think the more it drifts away, I think probably the better it's getting in my memory.
It's, do you know what it is? Spice bags are getting worse and worse.
That's true, they are.
And nobody gives a shit about them anymore. They're an afterthought on people's menus and they are getting shit.
The hype is gone.
The hype is gone. The novelty is gone.
Yeah.
Until
this fella showed up, and then.
That's kind of nice though. It's like a mythological.
You're a legend of the food truck scene.
Yeah.
Poof. Kaiser Salsa.
He came, he done one event and he left.
Yeah.
He done Coldplay and fucked off.
Record sales and sold out concerts. Can you hear me? Encore.
Let me hear you scream until your tongue gets sore.
Spicy. Well, we leave it there, so.
Sure, we may as well.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Right, yo, we leave it there, so. Do you remember that one?
Joe Duffy's retiring.
Oh, is he? I knew that. I seen that somewhere. Cool.
You could get his gig.
Joe Duffy Motors.
You could get his gig.
Yeah, I've got the name. I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
Joe.
Talk to Joe on 0800 32 32 32 or something like that.
No, that's not the number.
What's it?
It's 0800 32 32 33.
Fuck. Anyway, we leave it there.
We leave it there.
It's good to be back, which is.
Yeah.
It's good to be back in the building.
Into his house.
And we won't leave his for a while anyway. No, nothing booked. Nothing coming up. Straight podcasting from here on out for a while anyway.
Yeah. No, nose to the grind.
Oh yeah.
As they say.
Get them live rates going. Oh yeah, sell them something. Let's sell them something.
Come on, we'll talk to us.
Alright, peace.